I almost died, and he saved me, and I think maybe he's gonna prepare something good for the future in my life. Maybe I'm the way I'm supporting others, maybe that's the reason why I like to make it a joke, and I said why I'm his favorite.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the IAAF Inside Athletic Podcast. I'm Ben Harlow.
And I'm Katie Smith.
We've got a great show for you today. We're going to start off with bringing you some live action from Rome.
Plenty of news and action as well from the Oslo and Stockholm Diamond Leagues.
We're also going to recap what a fantastic competition there was in Gotsis.
And with less than 40 days to go until the World Under 20 Championships, we'll be bringing you the ones to watch in that one. Now, I was lucky enough to catch up with double Olympic discus champion Sandra Perkovic ahead of the Rome Diamond League, in which she, of course, won again. And she spoke so fluently on a number of issues about what her faith means to her. She got to meet the Pope when she was in Rome, which was a fantastic opportunity for a number of athletes. And she also spoke very honestly about a drugs ban that she had to serve in 2011 for something that was found in her system due to a drink that she'd been given. And it's a really fascinating interview, so I hope you enjoy.
So if you could just tell me, why discus? What drew you to that event? Because you started out in things like volleyball and basketball, didn't you?
Yeah, my first sports were like volleyball, and my favorite one was basketball, and I was really good at it. But the first time I stepped at the track, to the track, and feel that track and field moment and individual sport, and when my coach came to me and said that I can be a really good athlete, and I really started loving that sport. And because the most important thing is individual and how many things you work for yourself, that many things you're gonna bring for yourself. So I think after like 3 or 4 years my training athletics, and I try to jump and to run, to do everything, but I think I fell in love in discus on first sight. And when I started, it was like amazing discipline and amazing event, because the old Greek was throwing discus, and everything is about history, and I'm a history fan. So when I see that I'm really good in it, I just started enjoying and training really hard, and yeah, here I am as a double Olympic champion.
Yeah, so it must be amazing then being somewhere in Rome, like Rome, with the history that's here.
Yeah,
as
I really love Rome because of that.
Yeah, and so tell me what it was like then growing up in Croatia, being a track and field athlete. Is that something that people really love over there? Is that a big sport for them?
Yeah, usually in Croatia we love all sports. Of course, football is the famous sport in each country, but before me there was a Blanka Vlasic, and everybody knows about track and field, and everybody knows about some good result, and everybody respect, and everybody knows that is that athletics is a queen of sports. So lots of young kids start to train athletics, and now in Croatia we have like 10 really, really good athletes. Like, we are idol to them, and more kids are coming to the stadium. So I think I achieved my goal for career, and that is that so many kids and all the kids come to the field. Doesn't matter, it's a volleyball, it's a basketball, it's a handball, or some other sport. My goal for career is to see what you can do from your sport, and how many you can enjoy, and how many friends you can meet, and how many part of the world you can visit, and it's become like a beautiful life if you are a sportsman.
So going back then to sort of earlier in your career, so you had a very successful junior career, then 2009 I was reading you suffered a really bad appendicitis. Could you just tell me a little bit more about that and how it affected you?
Yeah, that was a really tough period in my life, and I almost died 2 times, and it was like the doctor couldn't find the problem, what was going on with my body, so they couldn't react appropriately. But thanks to God and thanks to my family and all the people around me that I didn't feel that pressure, and I was thinking like it's a normal surgery, and after that surgery I'm gonna be like the first question I have asked them when I need to sign, because I was over 18, so I need to sign that I need to have an operation. When they ask me, like, you need to sign, and I ask, okay, it's like was 25th December, and I said, okay, can I go to the in sport camp on 2nd January? And my mom was like shaving, like moving her head, and said, yes, please, doctor, say yes, because she don't want to sign it, because that's the way how much I love athletics. And after that operation, I lose almost 30 kilograms, and it wasn't a good experience, and nobody expects for me to come back 2009, because the operation was on the end of 2008 and the beginning of 2009 I had two operations. I started training in May, and I was like playing with the disc, not the throwing, and then my first competition I threw a national record which I was chasing a year before, and I couldn't throw over it, and then I threw 59 and then I threw 62. I make the standard for the World Championship Berlin, and I think that is the beginning of my new era in the track and field.
Oh, interesting. And you talk about God there. So you're Roman Catholic, is
yeah,
that right?
Yeah.
So you got to meet the Pope.
Yeah, but I didn't know that now we have that that opportunity that we can meet the Pope. Yesterday I was visit the Vatican City, because it was like my wish when I was a little kid, and I really felt really special when I stepped in that St. Peter's Basilica, and maybe other people wouldn't say it, like it's something special. It's a big, like it's a holy frame of everything. But when you step inside and you see these huge walls and you see these huge sculptures, you feel amazing, and I really can't describe that moment. But I can only say it's like so emotional for me, and I think this is what pushing me into the life, and with that I'm very happy person.
Yeah. And do you feel it helps your sport?
I'm passionate in everything I'm doing in my life, so it is sport, and I think the God have like some secret plan for me. That's the reason why he kept me so safe. And you see, I have two big problems, and I almost died, and he saved me, and I think maybe he's gonna prepare something good for the future in my life, and maybe I'm the way I'm supporting others, maybe that's the reason why I like to make it a joke, and I said why I'm his favorite. So.
I like that. So 2010, you went on to become European champion,
yeah.
Youngest ever
yeah.
winner. And then 2011 was quite a tricky year for you.
Yeah.
Can you explain why?
Yeah, that was my second worst part of my life. Not because I didn't compete and everything. It was like emotionally really hard, because I take guilt for something that it wasn't my problem, and my nutritionist gave me like some energy drink like you can buy in some normal store, and we thought like it's clean, like usually I'm really really anti-doping fan, and I don't like doping in sport, and I was always talking about that moment that I'm against doping, and I think everybody who takes doping that be like forbid a lifetime ban, yeah. And then in that moment, 2011, I got like a letter from my IAAF and anti-doping agency that my sample was positive, and I was thought at first I was thought that was like a mistake, because I have a really good team and everybody take care of their things, and then we started like looking my vitamins and everything was like okay, and then we found the doctor and bring the all things I have a drink like in past like 6 months, and I drink that energy drink two times, one before Diamond League in Shanghai, another one Diamond League Rome, and because it's like something like energy drink, like when you are too exhausted and when you lose a lot of water from your body, like with your sweat or something that you can drink, that it's gonna like refresh your body, like every usual energy drink. And when we find a light, it's what like geranium root extract is not, but I fell on methylhexamine, but the geranium root extract is a synonym for Metcalf examine, and I got 6 months, and that year I missed that
World Championship
in Daegu. I missed the Diamond League titles, and because I was in really good shape, and it was like it was too stressful for me. I was continue to train like for one more month, and then I have a big fight with my coach, and I said, what's the reason for I train? Because now it's like June, and we are preparing for what for next June, and I took my friends and I took my stuff, and we like go to the sea coast, and I didn't want to think about anything about sport. Mm-hmm. And it was like really stressful, because you know when you get something, you're not, it's not your fault, but you got punished.
Yeah.
I need to tell you that I'm happy that they punished the team, like the team, but the head of the team is me, because they cannot forgive me. But in that moment, when you are that person, you're not feeling so comfortable, and you think maybe some other ways, maybe they can punish the coach, maybe they can punish the nutritionist, but that's not how the way it works. But I think that makes me stronger, and from then on till now, I'm very, really strict with vitamins. Usually, I have the people who take care of my vitamins before that moment, because I was so trustful to them. And after that moment, every new vitamin come to my diet or somewhere. I want to know everything about that vitamin. Where did you buy it? How did you find it? And what I will get. Before that, I was just like normal athlete who is taking like vitamins, because you know that your coach, your team doesn't want to hurt you, but maybe the nutritionist was like too confident, and he didn't want to check the vitamin supplement. So that's the reason why I got six months and he didn't get anything, and he was continuing to work. I lose all my payments. I couldn't go to sport camps. I was forbidden for all track and field competitions. So I think that makes me stronger. So in this moment now, nothing can hurt me that much. Mm. Like that was hurting.
And then obviously 2012, the next year.
Yeah, and that was like the worst thing in that 2011 was like how many months or how many years I got for that Metcalf examen, and I was crying at the press conference, not because of the 2011. I always joking right now that what motivated you, Sandra, for now that you are continuing to be the world champion, Olympic champion. I said I still miss that goal from Daegu 2011, and they're all joking. But I was really scared that I will lose my first Olympics, that it will be London.
Yeah.
But I got 6 months, so I was competing in London, and I knew that if I step in this circle in London, I'm going to be Olympic champion, because that much power and anger and everything was like settled in that discus, which I launched 69-11 and took that Olympic title, and like it was full of emotion. And then I showed the world that it wasn't my fault that was happened, and then I'm a clean athlete, and I always be clean. And from that moment when the people saw me after that stress, after I got the standard for the Olympics, it was end of the April, like 4 months before Olympics. Till then, I didn't have any financial help, because I wasn't in a program and I didn't have any payment, I told you before, and I have only 4 months to prepare. Before that, I was paying from my own money, because I was so wishing that gold, and so I was full of like anger to show the others that I'm capable, and that I'm a discus thrower of new age, and that maybe one day I will be so close to the world record, and this is not my end. And in that moment I was talking about 70 meters that I want to break that barrier, and everybody was laughing like, yeah, she's gonna break it, nobody threw that 25 years. Yeah, I break it, and I threw already 7 times over 70 meters, so I think
you're winning.
Yeah, I'm winning. Yeah.
Did it ever worry you after you got your ban that people would look at you differently?
Yeah, at the beginning was like looking at me differently, and they was like thinking like, of course I look at the differently than some other athletes. But when you experience that on your own skin, that you start to thinking that those people maybe are not guilty, because we are like used to it. When you said something, did something wrong, you are like looking at him like why he did it or something. And then when you experience yourself, that you start thinking maybe it's not his fault. Maybe he don't have any opportunity. Maybe not especially me, somebody else, maybe he got something, but he didn't know because his coach is crazy and he wanna achieve something impossible. And so, yeah, I had a problem, but I didn't worry about that problem. And that was just like feeling with the energy, and I was throwing further and further and further, and finally they stopped and they said, okay, she's a really good athlete.
She's okay.
Yeah, she's okay.
So you've been on kind of winning ways then since 2012. You got your second Olympic gold in 2016. So what's the aim then this season? Do you find it hard in these sort of, obviously you've got Europeans coming
I'm still
down.
Missing that goal from 2011.
I got it. What do you aim for now? What's your goal?
That is the question that everybody always asks me, like, what is motivated you? This year, 2018, it's a year of European Championship, which we got this year gonna be in Berlin. I told you before, 2009, after the surgery and after everything, I made my big final, which was World Championship Berlin, and I got 9th place. And I think after 9 years, and when I was like, when I was talking with my team about that 9 years, I was like, oh my God, 9 years already passed. I'm getting old. I coming back to this stadium, and 62-16, I was through 2009, and maybe this year I can throw very, very far. And I have a special emotion because that was my first big senior competition, and I made the final. And I think that after the surgery, that's the year that everything started, and that's the year where from a regular young athlete who have a good start for something, to do something good in the future, I become a really good athlete who will achieve something in the future. So I think 2018 European champion, chasing my 5th gold, which nobody ever did in history, and that's the biggest goal for this season.
And you like history, don't
and
you?
And I like history.
And just one final thing then. So I don't know if you ever do the Diamond League Fantasy team. Do you know about
this? No, yeah, I heard about Diamond League Fantasy team, and my team, like my training partners, and they're always asking me, like, Sara, who I put in the fantasy team? I said, please go away from this. I don't wanna talk about it.
So I was gonna say, I personally, whenever you're competing, I put you as my captain.
Yeah, double points, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Meeting record.
I get triple points.
Really?
Great.
I thought if I threw a meeting record, then you get double points. No, if you're captain one, you get double points.
Oh, maybe it's double. I need to
do it. That doesn't matter. I get more points.
But I was going to say, do you ever feel, now that you are so known for winning and you're so good at what you do and far ahead of others, do you ever feel that weight of expectation?
I feel expectation from everybody. Yes, I remember 2015 at the World Championship in Beijing. I came there like a big favorite for a gold, and I have problem with my technique, and the circle was too slippery. I don't wanna guilt the circle, but I wasn't the one in the moment. I was doing my final, and I take only in Croatia they were wrote like only a silver. Like if I take the last place in the competition, I think I achieved so much in my life that I don't need to worry about anything. But I remember that time, and when they wrote like Sanda Perkovic won only a silver, and then I started to talk with the other journalists and the people, and I said, can you imagine that you're gonna be like, you can be like second in the world in like, I don't know, something. Watching the television, doesn't matter, be second or something, and that's the expectation what I got from my home. But my old coach will like to say that I'm a champion mind, and I'm like something like Muhammad Ali, because which is my favorite athlete for the history, and he always expecting for myself so much more, and that's the reason why I'm so good, because I'm not satisfied. And sometimes I, after the training, I know to say to my coach, yeah, it was good, but if I, and then my coach says, Sandra, shut up. You did an amazing training. You are healthy. We are preparing for that competition. Doesn't matter. But if, shut up, I said, okay, yeah, it's good, but I'm only expecting, I'm always looking for like mistakes that I could do better, and nobody could expect more than me, so don't worry.
Do you believe in the perfect?
Yeah, I believe in the perfect, but I also believe that nobody cannot be perfect. Yeah, yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, Rhone Diamond League, another big one. Some great performances. Let's start with some highlights. I think for me, it's got to be the men's 400 meter hurdles, fastest ever time we've seen in Diamond League history.
It was incredible, and I don't think anybody quite realised how good it was when
because
it first
happened.
Because it
was the first race of the meet. Yeah, as well.
I was just so shocked. 47-48. That's Samba, by the way, who won. And then Carson Warholm coming second, and he knocked off 0.4 of a second off his original PB. He ran 47.82. And he won the world title last year in, 48-20?
And it was his first meet of the season as well. I think that's...
For Warholm, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic opener.
Brilliant. And just so, what a race to watch.
What a battle. Like, we were all like, the men's pole vault was going to be the most, crazy event this season. But men's four hurdles, those two going at it, I'm really excited.
And I think because we're so used to Warholm going off so fast, I don't think we realise just how fast that was. But
yeah,
very exciting stuff.
The long jump as well was also my highlight. There was three guys over 8:34.
Two over 8:50.
Yeah, it was a rematch of the world indoors. It was Manyonga versus Echevarria, and Luvo is such a character. 8:58 world lead.
But afterwards, what was really interesting was he said, "It's so great that there is someone there like Echevarria pushing him on."
Yeah.
You What's can't good? Win and walk away.
That's good.
8:58, Luvo.
Yes.
How does that feel?
It feels great. I knew there's something in the tank, but I was waiting for the good competition. A little bit of push. I got it today. I'm sorry about the name of the guy from Cuba, but...
Echevarria.
Yes. Echevarria. Yes, he gave me a good competition. I think I really needed that. And also, jumping alone last year, I couldn't get so much distance. This year, it's quite going to be a good year of big distances, and I'm looking forward for the next competition.
So another one that stood out for me has to be the men's 100 metres. So in Eugene, we saw that matchup, Christian Coleman, Ronnie Baker, both of the USA, and I think no one expected it to go Ronnie Baker's favour. No one expected that time, 9:78. And then in Rhone,
he backed it up, and it was really cool to see. And it was also nice to see the young Italian Tortu get amongst it as well. And you can hear mine and Katie's live reaction to that again.
Love hundreds, Ronnie and Christian.
Oh my god, he smoked him again! Tortu! Felipe Tortu! Did you see him
before the end? 9:93!
What did?
New one lead! Coleman completely run out.
Coleman in fourth place, 10:06.
Not expecting that.
And what was great as well was chatting to Ronnie afterwards. He said that PB, because he did PB 9:93, legitimate this time, not wind assisted, and he said that meant so much to him.
After a massive 9:78 last week, must feel great to get, a valid PB today.
Oh, yes, I'm super excited.
That size says it all.
I mean, I've been running and I run these fast times and I always have like 2.1, 2.3, 2.4. So for me to come here and to run a wind legal PB is crazy for me. So it's awesome.
And so much of the season is still left to go.
I know.
How fast can you go?
I'm not gonna put a limit on myself. I know I can go fast with a 9:93 for sure. I just have to go back and analyze the race. But the sky's the limit.
And a word on Christian Coleman, you've beaten him twice now. Are you enjoying this kind of rivalry that everyone's sort of putting on you two?
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I mean, it definitely brings out the competitive side of me. I mean, even indoors, it was bringing out the competitive side to me. And, he had my number inside. And so I definitely went back and really worked hard to try to, best him in these 100-meter races. And so for me to win twice in a row is really exciting for me. And it just shows me that my hard work is paying off.
And no major championships this season. So is the aim just fast as possible?
Yeah, as fast as possible. I mean, that's always the aim, for me anyway. I don't see these years as off years, or what everyone says. I always am trying to be the fastest in the world and to run the fastest. And so there's not really any breaks for me. I'm trying to run as fast as I can because that's what the sport is about.
Again, a podcast favourite as well, the women's discus with Sandra Perkovic. She had us scared a little bit. She didn't take the lead until round 5, but then she set another meeting record. That's 10 out of 14 Diamond League meet records that she has, and some of them are because they just haven't held the women's discus there, so she hasn't a chance to get the meeting record.
But she's hungry for it, isn't
oh
she?
Oh my god, and she's just quickly becoming my favourite athlete, I think.
It was like, okay, but this was like 65 meters and I was start being angry and then I saw I'm not going anywhere. And then I was like going very crazy and I said, fifth round now or never, Sandra, you're not coming here to Rome and your audience is here. And I have really so much fans here in Italy and I got so much message last night and today for this competition and I just want to give them a meeting record which they deserve and I deserve. And my coach said, if I throw that good and win new meeting, like, okay, you gotta take me to the dinner. And now everything is fixed. And when I saw 68, 93, I said, oh my God, 3 centimeters below that mark. And I was like, it's enough, it's enough.
Away from the field, I also thought Marie-Jose Talu is kind of stamping her authority on the sprints this year. It's kind of sad that there's no major championship for her because she's always kind of the silver second place girl. But she's kind of dominating in the 100 and 200. She's all over the Diamond League circuit. And also, I thought it was nice to see your pick, Cam Bungee, as well. You said it at the start of the season, she was your one to watch around the circuit.
I think it was you, wasn't it?
Was it me? I thought it was you. Yeah, I'll definitely take the credit for it.
But I think in terms of European sprinting, which sometimes has fallen behind the States and Jamaica, really cool to see her coming in into third. And she says she's got her sights set on more exciting things this season.
So 22.76, third place. Talk us through the race.
I'm very happy. It's very good. The time is not that good, but we had a lot of headwinds, so I'm very happy with my first podium in the Diamond League. It was, it's so much more fun to run like this than the last year where I was always in the last part, so I'm very happy about
it. So you really feel like you've made a leap this year. And what's it like being in Rome? Great crowd tonight.
Yeah, it's amazing. I heard it when we were waiting before we went to the start, and it's a very amazing audience, yeah.
And looking forward to Europeans now. What do you think you can do there?
Yeah, this year's a big goal. I don't know. It's still a long time until then. Season is long. I don't know how I'm going to progress. I don't know what the other girls are doing, so...
Wait,
I think the medal should be the goal, I think, in my position right now. But I don't know, it's for me a little bit too soon to say really what I can do.
There was also a fantastic men's pole vault competition. Powell, the Polish athlete, and Sam Kendricks, they were going toe-to-toe the whole way through. And it was, I think the bar was at 584, and Powell, he fouled all three of his attempts, and Kendricks got it on the last one, and it was a great competitive effort. And in the stadium, the crowd was just electric.
They were loving it, weren't they?
Yeah, he wasn't even Italian, and they loved their Italians.
Yeah, no, it was great. But what was interesting, I think, is as you said, it was perhaps a better competition than it was a let's go for those big heights, let's break records. Mm-hmm. And I think Kendricks even acknowledged that himself afterwards.
All right, so let me ask the questions, all right? So this competition, it was a special. And I don't say that just to be interesting. You don't often see everyone come together like they do in this kind of event. Everyone struggled. Sean with his own struggles in the beginning. Us, Kostas with the standards in the center of the competition. Me and Pavel at the end with our fitness, trying to jump against each other. Piotr having come from a great performance 2 days ago in Poland and now trying to jump again. Everyone was overcoming a little bit of a limitation. And so they had to be true professionals in the event. Now, to answer your question about the height, you know, it is not often that the man that aims to set the record wins the competition. It is the man that's willing to jump each bar man-to-man that can win. And sometimes the bar of the day is not the bar of the day. I attempted 590. I asked my coach for one more attempt, and he says, Sam, it's a long summer. It's a long summer. You can quote me on that. And I wish to be at my strongest for all of these meets. And inevitably, I cannot risk a meet record when it's set so high. 5 meters 96 is no paltry jump. It would be higher than I jumped for my world championship last year in London at my absolute peak. I had, because of my misses early in the competition, I sacrificed later potential. Because of earlier misses, you sacrifice later potential. And it took everything I had to beat the Polish man, Paweł Wojciechowski. Took everything I had. A last jump, he was out of the competition. It was my only chance to win. I was already behind, and I had to do it. I had to kind of call on the crowd a little bit, back up a little bit more in my run, and then ask my coach for one last change, and they all worked out. So it's not often that you get to win in such a fashion.
And you get such a phenomenal reception here in Rome. What does that mean to you?
You know, when I come to a new place, it always strikes me as crazy that people know who I am. I'm just a humble jumper. I make the joke that sometimes I'm just a pole dancer on the road. You don't quote me on that. But the nature of these people in this stadium is to be there with the athletes. They want to know you. They want to compete with you. They want to know your struggle because, you know, they're football fans and they want to be track and field fans because I go outside and I see the historic statues and they say, these people really know what athletics means and they can respect that. And starting with respect, they know that, hey, I worked freaking hard for that medal and I know I had to beat some great gentlemen in order to win.
So coming back to Rome next year?
If they have it. You know, if I get invited, I'll come back every time. You know, I hit my head twice on the back of the bus today on the way to the stadium because I should have learned from my public school days, don't sit in the back if you don't.
Terrifying.
But we had our own police escort. It was crazy. We were across Rome in 25 minutes when it would have otherwise taken an hour and a half. It was crazy. I was so impressed. And I got to see the Spanish Steps and various other landmarks around Rome just on the way to the track. So it was pretty neat for me. You know, it's funny. Of the 14 Diamond League meets, I've now won 8 of them, I think. So I need to go to Monaco, Rabat, Stockholm, and Oslo here in the future to win those meets. Then I'll have the full suite of medals from the Diamond League. But that's not what you aim for in a career. I think this was a successful trip, and it's one of many on my European tour this summer. I take the sacrifice because this is not a championship year to really go see the world and, you know, jump in front of some new people. And it's not often you get that chance. So I'm kind of living the dream right now.
Aside from that, I think just honourable mentions. Lasitskini, again, she did well.
She has said that she wants to go up against...
Yeah, in Paris, the Paris
Nafi
Diamond League.
TM in the Paris Diamond League.
Which is soon,
is
not
that
far away.
That is
mouth-watering. Yes.
It's going to be a really cool competition. They're both going to bring their A game, because if TM can beat Lasitskini in her own event, I think table's turning moment.
Also, the steeplechase was quite a... up and down, unexpected. I mean, it was a really fast time by Kipyeong, 9.04. And it was a shame that Emma Coburn fell on the last steeple where... She was with them. And she is the world champion. And this was like her first race as world champion, I guess, well, for this season. And it's, it was a shame she fell, but she still ran a really good time herself anyway. I guess other honourable mentions as well, Sarah Eden Nasser, 400 meter silver medalist last year, 50.5. This is her first race back. She was meant to be in Eugene, but she didn't turn up there. So it was good to see her, kind of, because she kind of burst on the scene last year, and it's kind of like, good to see it's not a fluke. She can still run these fast times.
Absolutely.
And I guess, final mention maybe for Georgianne Molin as well, dipping below that illustrious 54 second barrier for the 400 hurdles as well.
Just a shame it wasn't a Diamond League event for her today.
Yeah, it was a shame.
No points coming from that one, but a great performance.
Nonetheless.
And men's discus, just finally for me, was also probably not as exciting as the women's in terms of really pushing for records, but backing up his Commonwealth gold, Frederick Dacres of Jamaica, with another 69 plus throw, looking good for him early season.
Yeah. It's, again, we talk about this all the time. It's so just so lovely to see different nations kind of being successful in events not stereotypically participated in by those countries.
And we saw Harting was quite low down the field.
Yeah, surprisingly, he's kind of been out of sorts for a while though. But yeah, good to see Dacres on top. Okay, so Gotsis, give me your thoughts. We were going a bit crazy. In the last podcast, I think we were just a bit hyper because it was the pre-classic and we just kind
there of... There was, yeah, 978, still not over that. Wind assisted in brackets, whatever. Who really cares? 978. I was looking at the start list, actually, for Rome. And it says his PB is 9.97. And I just wanted to stab it out with my pen and say, no, he can run faster than this.
Casey, I know you're passionate about that race, but we need to talk about Gotsis.
Sorry, Gotsis. So yeah, it was a funny one last time, but because of our recording times when we have to do it, we obviously had to record halfway through. And I think we both commented that that first day in Gotsis was mind-blowing with what TM did in high jump, brilliant shot put. We just kind of thought something really big. She was so many points ahead of her total from last year. Yeah, it was something like 50.
It was inevitable.
60.
Well, we thought it was inevitable. But
yeah, we thought there was going to be over 7,000 again.
Yeah, and then she started day two off fantastically. She did 6.62 in the long jump. That's just, she's incredible. But it was her javelin that obviously let her down.
She threw very strong events.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. No, her PB is 57 meters, which is incredible in its own right, but so she was 10 metres down from that. I think she threw 47 metres, something around that area. But I saw her say afterwards that she was trying a new run-up for the javelin, and she said if she wants to throw any further than 57 metres, she has to do it from this new run-up. So I feel like, come Europeans, if she gets that nailed down...
Absolutely. I think we're only disappointed because Gotsis last year was so... sensational with the scores.
She is who she is.
Yeah, exactly. But I think, as you say, it's worth looking at this as also a progression onto bigger things. And it's not like her performances were bad.
Other notable performances as well in the heptathlon. It was really cool to see Rodriguez step up. She was a really good junior. She came, I think she got a silver in 2014. I think she may have won the World Under-20s, actually, in 2012. Then she got a silver in 2014 behind Morgan Lake, who's now a high jumper. I don't know whether she's going to stick with high jump, but we'll see. It'd be quite, she's one of those athletes who I'd love to see do multi-events again.
Go back to it, yeah.
Because she's so good so young.
Yeah, she's doing well, though.
But she's doing very well as a high jumper.
Silver at the Commonwealth Games?
Silver at the Commonwealth Games. Was it sixth in the world last year? And then fourth at the World Indoors. So she's not had a bad year as a high jumper. But Rodriguez... breaking 6,700 points, that's
big
a
deal.
Medal in pretty much every major championship. That's a really, really good score. I mean, that definitely would have medalled in London last year. And then third place, Erica Bugard as well. Seeing a good step up in class from her. Again, we mentioned it last week with the 12.80 in the hurdles. I think her personal best was 13.20 or something before. So that's a huge...
That's massive.
Huge performance from her. And again, on the men's side... Damien, he's just so solid. Really.
What a class act, yeah. Just a consistency as well from him.
Yeah. And also Weibo as well. Sean A. Miller's husband, he's also stepped up. And I saw Sean A. Miller put on her like Instagram story or Twitter.
This is so great.
She was just like, talking about how proud she is of her husband. Well, she was at pre running 49 point whatever for the 400 meters.
Oh no,
well.
I was talking about someone compared their 200 meter times.
Oh really?
She's running so much faster than him.
He is doing 10 other events though.
It's
but...
something like when Bay outruns Hubby or something.
Oh my god, that laugh then. But yeah, what a power couple. And maybe one day Marcel Weibo will beat his wife in the 400 and 200, but for now...
No time soon.
Maybe 100 metres could be where they kind of level out. I'd like to see that.
Could be interesting, actually.
She's still smoking.
Yeah, I would always put my money on Shawnee.
Okay, outside of Gotsis, let's talk about the World Under 20s. So we've started to see some... emerging talents coming through this season. A lot of them, well, Mondo, for example, we spoke about last week, who, at the World Under 20s, he got a bronze medal in 2016, but 2 years on, he's now at the pre-classic, facing off against the likes of Kendricks and Levi Linnane, you know, all those guys. What do you make of his chances?
Yeah, I think he's going to win it.
Cool. Great analysis there from Katie.
Well, no, I wasn't expecting that question. I thought you were going to say, how high can he go?
Well, how high
like
can
that.
He go?
Well, what was his season's best so far?
I think he did 5.92.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether that's been ratified yet, but I think below that was 588.
Wouldn't it be cool if we saw something close to 6 meters? The world under 20s.
Oh my god. And I overheard a conversation in the dining hall in the Rome Diamond League, and Sam Kendricks was talking about Mondo, saying how because Sam Kendricks, I think we forget, but he's actually still fairly young. He's not been around actually that long. He's still quite a young guy, and he was saying Mondo has been jumping way higher and he's way faster than Sam ever was at his age. So the career trajectory that he's on right now is something amazing.
Very exciting.
Mm.
And we were talking earlier, he comes from a family of...
Yeah.
There was no way he wasn't going to be brilliant.
No, his dad is a pole vaulter, or was a pole vaulter. And that, I think his dad coaches him and goes all around the world with him as well, which is really lovely. And his mum was a heptathlete, so just basically destined to be a superstar.
Mm.
So Mondo aside, who else are you excited about?
Well, a young athlete who it kind of feels like he's been around for a while, and it's not really, it's just because he's got a million older brothers and everyone, I think, gets a bit confused. Jacob Ingebrigtsen.
Yeah.
Of the Ingebrigtsen families. Families?
The royal family.
The royal family, yeah. Is just such an exciting talent. So he ran in the Bowman Mile last week. He ran in the Bowman Mile at the... Eugene Prefontaine Classic, and came third, I think, in something like 3:52.
Was it 52, 53.
So obviously, I mean, he'd run sub 4 for the mile a little while back anyway, but 17.
Yeah.
I just am so excited to see what he can do. And, you know, he's already running against senior athletes and coming in third in what was an absolutely stellar field in that race. So just think of these champs.
Mm.
I think he is so exciting.
I just wonder how many millions of events he's going to run as well.
That's so true. Yeah, so he'll, I mean, 1500 and then whatever else. I'm imagining he'll be focusing on the 1500.
I assume so, but I can also see him doing the 800 metres as well, probably.
Because he's got the speed. That's what I was so impressed with, was his kick in Eugene, because he was well down the field and sprinted past a lot of very, very class athletes.
Yeah, the Ingebrigtsens are pretty incredible, considering one of his older brothers literally was on the podium for the World Championships last summer. So,
and
yeah.
You surprised me the other day and said there's another one that's younger.
Yeah, apparently there is an even younger Ingebrigtsen. So we'll see. I don't know. What if they just keep getting better and better as they get younger?
It's a bit scary, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Borlase of distance running. Yeah.
And another one as well, skipping back to field for a minute. Brayton Poole, South African athlete, 18 years old in the high jump.
Yeah.
What do you think of his chances?
I mean, he was incredible at the World Under-18s last year in Nairobi. When you look at the guy, he's pretty small, but clearing 225 is a really impressive distance for somebody of his height.
Also, there's the heptathlon I'm very excited about. So Neve Emerson, I think, is definitely one to keep your eyes on. She came third at the Commonwealth Games, broke 6,000 points. Definitely a young talent, another British young talent in heptathlon.
Yeah, there just seems to be an never-ending chain of multi-eventers, female multi-eventers in Britain. Yeah, following in,
Denise Lewis,
Kelly Southerton, Katerina, so many now. But yeah, it'll be exciting to see how she does. She'll come up against the Ukrainian, Elina Shuk, who has got an incredible personal best. I think it's around 6,300, and it's double check that, so don't quote me on that. But she is fantastic. She performed okay in Gotsis. She had a bit of a ropey javelin, but quite a few people struggled in the javelin as well. But that seems to be a big event for her, so we'll see how she fares. And then there's also Sarah Lager, who is also in Gotsis, so in her home country, she's Austrian. She won the World Under-20s last year as well, so she'll be a fierce competitor as well.
Mm. And then in the sprints, the events, everyone's always looking for the next talent coming through. Who have you got your eyes on?
Well, I feel like it has to be Brianna Williams of Jamaica. I also like her because we share the same birthday. So, but she's performed really well, actually. So far this year, she ran in March 11:13.
Wow.
So she's definitely going to be one of the ones to watch. I mean, the World Juniors, especially, you can get a medal around, or you can win it in around 11-4. So if she finds anything close to 11-1, she's kind of got that sealed.
Yeah.
But there's also St. Paul of Trinidad and Tobago. I think she's still an under 20 as well, so she'll also be a force to be reckoned with. I think she's coached by Ato Bolden as well. Oh. So yeah. I'm not sure if they both are, actually. Maybe they both... I think they both might be, actually. It's just...
There's revelation in your eyes.
I was like, wow, maybe they both are. I think they both could be, but again, I could just be telling lies.
But exciting for Jamaican sprinting, I think, needs a little revamp, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think after, obviously, Usain retired last year, and maybe some of the athletes aren't the same as they once were, I think they definitely need a new crop, a young crop, to come and take over the world again, to become
and
the...
for their fans as well, some people to get really excited by, because I know the Jamaicans love watching their young athletes. They have so many events in Jamaica that revolved around school
athletes. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Overall, there's a lot of exciting talent and I'm really looking forward to it.
So now for a quick recap and some highlights from the Stockholm and Oslo Diamond Leagues that took place just a week after Rome, and the event that is quickly becoming the hot topic of the Diamond League 2018 is, of course, the men's 400 meter hurdles that's seen a rivalry brewing between Abdulrahman Samba of Qatar and the current reigning world champion Carsten Warholm of Norway, obviously competing in his home Diamond League in Oslo, but couldn't get the win. Samba triumphed again in both of those meetings, and in Stockholm ran a stonking 47.41, another area record, a Diamond League record, of course, a personal best for him, and is only boding well for his home World Championships next year in Doha. Warholm also some brilliant performances, taking out from the front as he always does. 47.81 he managed in Stockholm, another national record for him, so very exciting to see where this event is going and how it shapes up towards the end of the season. Also worth mentioning though that the NCAA championships taking place in America at the same time as these two Diamond League events were going on, Ray Benjamin from Antigua ran 47.02 in the four hurdles, second fastest ever time he equaled ever in history. How incredible is that? And of course, it's worth mentioning in the men's 400 flat, Michael Norman ran 43.61, also a world-leading time for the NCAA athletes. So on and off Diamond League action, it's just hotting up to be absolutely incredible athletics this summer from across the board. Another event that has been brilliant to see shaping its way through this Diamond League season is the men's 200 metres. Ramil Guliyev, the surprise world champion from London 2017, is following up that form in 2018 as well. He won in both Stockholm and Oslo, under 20 seconds twice. So what will he be like facing up against Noah Lyles? We hope it will be a big one and we look forward to that later in the season. Men's pole vault as well was brilliant in Stockholm. We saw Mondo Duplantis, the young teenager just graduated from high school, in his home games in Stockholm, managed to get his first win over world champion Sam Kendricks. 5.86 he vaulted over to finish the day on top. What a brilliant competition for him in the scorching sunshine in the Swedish capital. The women's 100 metres, brilliant performances in both meets from Britain's Dina Asher-Smith. She was beaten by Muriel Ahure in Oslo, but gained a national record of 10.92 and then reversed the order in Stockholm, beating Ahure and running 10.93 again. So bodes well for the young Brit with the European athletes, European Championships just round the corner. The women's 110 metre hurdles as well cannot go amiss. Brianna McNeil back to winning ways with a world lead and a meeting record of 12.38 in Stockholm. Also worth a mention, Nadine Visser getting a national record for the Netherlands in fourth place with 12.71.
won, so brilliant racing from her. The men's shot put, another fantastic event. I feel like I'm just reeling them off. So in Oslo, Tom Walsh flew through a whopping 22.29 metres, matched almost by the USA's Ryan Krause, the 22.21. And you just feel a rivalry between these two athletes is building and building. I think this has been the theme of the season, these two-way rivalries, and that's exactly what this Diamond League is about. So who can go further next time? And finally, we have to talk about the men's long jump. What is going on? Juan Miguel Echevarria of Cuba, still a teenager, doesn't turn 20 until August, jumped 8.83 metres, the longest jump for 23 years. Sadly, so sadly, the wind was illegal, 2.1 metres per second. So it does not count as a legal jump. He did win the competition with it, but what an absolutely exciting prospect for the future. He's so close to Mike Powell's world record of 8.95, and you can just sense it's coming in some big championship. Luvo Manyonga, however, the South African world champion, only third in Stockholm, 8.25 he managed, and Jeff Henderson took second for the USA, 8.39. So they are really pushing. And these are just some of the highlights from some really outstanding performances across the board in both Oslo and Stockholm Diamond Leagues. Exciting to see what happens next.
Another thing that we need to talk about as well was the Run 24-1 campaign that the IAAF did in association with Global Running Day. It was a fantastic event, and I just think it's just worth a mention. I was really proud of how the IAAF just highlighted how global our sport is, touching all corners of the globe and having so many team captains involved. I just thought it was really cool to see.
Yeah, and exactly. It was that interaction between elite athletes who running for them is a career, but being able to mingle with people where running is literally just a pleasure, or just, you know, a way to keep fit or a way to keep moving. I think it was so nice to celebrate what running means to different people and what it can bring you.
Yeah, definitely. And I just hope as well, it just encourages people to keep on running. And I only hope this event just snowballs and gets bigger and bigger and bigger for next year. So yeah, really exciting. But that's unfortunately all we have time for this episode. Watch your social media, Katie.
At @K_CroydonSmith.
And you can find me @_BenHarlow. Remember as well to leave us a review on either iTunes or Twitter, or you can't leave a review on Spotify, but just mention us on Twitter. Let us know what you think, what athletes you'd like. Just want to reiterate that. And again, yeah, rate us 5 stars, because, you know, you love us.
We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. So weird.